So the text that we looked at a couple of weeks ago is 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, which says, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God. This is the pillar and foundation of the truth. So we gave the invitation for folk to come and be in this space, and to belong and to believe and become and be involved. So for some folk, they just come and they belong, be in this space. This is only a part of the church. We're here only for an hour or so on a Sunday. Where the church is where we are for the rest of the week. But God wants us to belong, and some of us come to a point where we believe, and then we're becoming more like Jesus, and then we be involved. We're putting our shoulder to the wheel, as we say. We looked at the image of the bride of Christ, but then we want to come today where this verse in verse 15, so if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. One of those things, and it was one of the part of our prayer walk, was what it is to bear fruit. I hope you enjoyed that reflection. I really did. I want to pick up on that. And John 15, if you want to take time during the day, read the entire chapter of John 15. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you and to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. So this idea of bearing fruit, they used out of the book by Mark Green, Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And he talks about six different ways to bear fruit. So some of you might sit and ask and have various images of what it is to bear fruit. Some of us grew up in churches where the only idea of bearing fruit was the idea of evangelism and how many people have you led to Jesus. That's only a small portion of it. I like what Mark Green talks about. He gives us these six areas. First is modeling godly character. Philippians 1 verse 11 says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So the idea there of fruit is in godly character. Now, I know some of you are characters. That's just the nature of a group of people like this. Some of you are characters, but God wants us to be godly characters, to live out what it is to be a follower of Jesus in where we work, live, and do family. This is the idea that particularly the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, kindness, this is godly character. This is particularly if you're parenting, that's what you're wanting to see develop in the lives of your children. The second one was making good work. Matthew 5 verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. These are not good works to maintain merit with God, but because God is working out his life in you, the flow through of that is good work, and that the Father may be glorified, whether that be in your workplace. We talked about that a couple of months ago about what does being a Christian look like in your workplace? So the idea of working well, timeliness, godly character, honesty, those sorts of things, making good work. The third one was ministering grace and love, reaching out to those, to others, to bless them. Galatians 6:10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. One of the things I love about Rob Burgess, he's not here today, he's one of our elders, is that when we're talking about decisions within our eldership and leadership team, he's always asking this question about how can we bless others? And that's a great mindset to have within us, the idea of blessing others and ministering grace and love. Ephesians 4:32, instead be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's a good fruit to develop, grace and love. Why? We love because he first loved us. So as we experience the love and grace of God, we pass that on to those that we come into contact with. So if people are wanting to understand what does grace and love look like, they look at you and I. Do you know that? We've experienced the grace and love of God. So that becomes a part of our DNA. That's a challenge. The other one is molding culture. I want to tell you a true story about Peter. Peter was a man approaching retirement. He was moving from one place to another. And he thought, what can I do? He actually preached and was in leadership and stuff like that. But he wanted to think of something else that he could do. And God gave him this verse. And this was the verse that God spoke to Peter about. We're sometimes a bit naughty taking verses out of context, but for Peter, this verse, it was as though God was answering his question of, okay, what do you want me to do in this new community I'm going to? And the verse given to him was Jeremiah 29:7, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. We know the context of that because we looked at it in our study of Jeremiah just not that long ago. But for Peter, this was something that he felt God was saying to him. That God was placing him in this community for the welfare of the community. So you know what he did? He went to the local council, went and saw Graham Paddouse. No, it wasn't. And he said, look, I want to pick up rubbish. Can I get one of those things that's got a handle and a clip on the end? And because he's getting a bit older, so he's a bit hard to bend down. And that's what he did. They gave him one of these things. That's what he did. He walked around the neighborhood picking up rubbish, putting it in bags. That's all he did. And he'd meet people. And as he met people, he'd start talking with them. They'd say, well, you volunteered. You get paid for this? He said, no, I don't get paid. I said, what are you not getting paid for? He said, what sort of a job's that? He said, well, I believe God made our world. I'm a part of that world. I love my community. I want it to look tidy. So I'm going to pick up rubbish. Oh, that'll get you to heaven. He said, no, it won't get me to heaven, but it'll make our community a different place. And I think that's an important thing. So he began to tell stories about his faith just while walking around the community, picking up rubbish. People began driving past and they'd bip their horns. Cars would stop and wind down their windows, actually press the button, not do the wind. And they would yell out to him. Why? All he was doing was picking up rubbish, something that was really simple. And then when he had opportunity, he talked to people about Jesus. How good is that? Molding culture, showing that it's not all about us and what we get, but it's also about something that we contribute. Mouthpiece for truth and justice. We looked at this last week with Refugee Week, Proverbs 31:9. Speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. I was reading an article this week in Harvard Business Review, which is talking about leadership stuff, and it was an article titled, Build Your Reputation as a Trustworthy Leader. There's a study over 15 years of 3,200 leaders. And you know what one of the standout things was? Trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. Be a mouthpiece for truth and also justice. In our, we see enough unethicalness. Is that a word? Oh, I'm not sure. Someone will correct me. We see enough unethical stuff, whether it's in politicians or in church leadership. You know, we wear that. Certainly amongst our politicians the last 12 months. This whole realm of immorality, things that are illegal, sexual scandals. There's something about followers of Jesus, one of the fruit that they bring is truth, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice. You know, kids, you can be this in school, where you see others being picked on or bullying, where people get isolated because they look different for some way and we're pretty brutal and we begin to pick on them. You can be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. You can say, that's not right. Actually, you can go and be their friend. Messenger of the gospel, Acts 1:8, you will receive power from when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses, telling people of me everywhere. See, sometimes I have people say to me, Tony, I'm not sure what God's called me to do. You ever felt like that? I'm not sure what we're thinking or what the nature of the question. Maybe there's something big that we feel called to, or we're wanting some specific call. And I just say to people, so What's your fruit looking like? God just wants us to bear fruit. He'll work out the details about anything bigger and better. Just bear fruit. Follow him. See what he's speaking to you. One of the other stations that we looked at, we won't go through the whole lot because it is just past 11. But one of them, because we don't talk about it very often, disagreeing well. Acts 15. Did you read the passage out there? Isn't it encouraging that you can see two heavyweights in Scripture, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and the original language says they had a strong disagreement to the point that Paul went this way and Barnabas went this way with John Mark. So he ended up with two separate mission teams. You say, oh, was that lack of reconciliation? No, there was wisdom in that. You don't find any harsh words in there. It's just simply they had two strong views about how they saw John Mark. And Barnabas, who was the encourager, he said, no, I'm not done with John Mark yet. I'm not done with John Mark. And Paul said, no, he's burned his bridges. He let me down once. I don't want to work with John Mark anymore. You know, the mature part is for believing Christians to have a difference and be able to journey through that together. Even at the end of that, they might end up going in separate directions, but still mates in the gospel together. That was Paul and Barnabas. That's unique. You see, what more often happens is that where we have a difference, you go in that direction, I go in this direction, we don't talk to each other. That's what happens. That's not good in the body of Christ, particularly when you're in a small town and you have to cross the street because someone's walking down the other side of the street, or in church where you can sort of nearly look at each other and say, oh, no, I'm not sitting over that side of church. If you want to get an idea how to disagree well, read that passage with Paul and Barnabas, but there's another one that's really good, and that's Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 15. That's my go-to. Because, you know, what I find today is that most often within church, it's not the really deep theological matters that bring us unglued, although sometimes it is. It's the other stuff. And Romans 14 and 15 talks about the disagreeable things. And some of the disagreeable things were there, and talks about the those who are weak. I won't take the time this morning to look into what that is. But he talks in there about those who want to eat veggies or not eat veggies or eat food and meat, and more often than not, it was meat that was offered to sacrifices. And he gives a whole bunch of things. Those who want to celebrate, keep a day as holy, or those who don't, i.e. for us today, that might be Christmas. Some folk love celebrating Christmas. Some folk don't like celebrating Christmas. Might be whether you drink wine, whether you do drink wine or you don't. And he lays out some really good ideas here, which is helpful for us. And he says, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. That's a current conversation today, isn't it? Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do. Why? For God has accepted them. What right have you to not accept them? So if you want to eat vegetables, fantastic. Go your hardest, eat the greens, come to our place because our next door neighbor has rocket growing everywhere. Go with that. But if I want a nice steak, don't have a go at me, because these are disputable things. Get over it, eat your veggies, I'll enjoy my steak, and we'll have communion together. Sounds simple. Why? Because I accept you as God accepts me. And Vicky Verkey. It just simplifies things so much over disputable things. We get really black and white. Maturity says, I will go from immaturity here through the tension to the other side and be able to journey with a brother or sister in Jesus who thinks differently to me. So for me, the thing with this is someone in that conversation has got to be the adult in the room. And you know what I find? more often than not, it's us oldies who don't behave like adults. We really don't, because we think we're right and they're wrong. And at the end of the day, it's whether or not you're eating greens or a lump of meat. And so we go this way and they go that way. Now, if it's on a theological difference, or you don't like the songs we sing or something, we talk about it, we journey with it together. And if you say, Tony, I think I need to move on. I say, well, let's celebrate that. Let's say, bless you, and say, Fred and Mary are heading over to the hills to do this or this or this, and we've had a journey together, and there are some differences, like Paul and Barnabas, and we just want to bless you and send them on their way. Isn't that better than we just don't see each other anymore? Which is what happens, that something just breaks and we don't see people. And much better to have the conversation. And if we can journey with our differences, fantastic. If we can't, fantastic. But let's acknowledge that and grow together with that. And then he says here, who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge those. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than the other, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. In other words, and I think back in the original says, as much as you are convinced in your own mind, do it as unto the Lord. Isn't that great? So in other words, it's not just what you grew up with that is your view that you hold to, but as you're convinced in your own mind, do your homework, pray over it, read the scriptures. Again, this is on disputable things. This is not on core doctrinal issues. These are on the grey areas on the edges. Seek the mind of Christ in that. And as much as you're convinced in your own mind, then do that as unto the Lord. So if you want to celebrate Lent, which some people do, fantastic. Do that. If I don't want to, fantastic. Let me. And that's okay. Or if you want to celebrate Christmas Day on the 25th or on the 24th or whatever date you want to pick, fantastic. If you don't, fantastic. Why? We work it out and we do it as unto the Lord. And we become the adult in the room. Does that make sense? I love Romans 14 and 15 for these reasons. And there's another, we'll keep moving on. There's another principle that comes out that says, as much as depends upon you, be at peace with all men and women. It says men, but it's generic. So as much as depends upon you, be at peace. So over these disputable things, don't be a troublemaker. Be an adult. Understand that in a group of people this size and larger than that, we'll have differences, and that's okay. That's what diversity is. Unity in diversity, being the adult in the room, knowing how to be like Paul and Barnabas together. We'd better move on from that. All right, that's a couple of things in moving on. Two key things. There's the law of liberty and the law of love. The law of liberty and the law of love, all out of Romans 14, Romans 15. So sometimes there's the law of liberty. And I use this illustration when we're in Victoria. Up there we had a large amount of WCTU ladies, Women's Christian Temperance Union, very conservative church. We happen to live in the church manse. It would have been frowned upon for us to have alcohol in the house. So guess what? The law of liberty says, and the law of love says, I don't have to do that, so I won't. Now you say, is that legalism, Tony? No, I'm at right to have a beverage at the end of the day if I want to. But being sensitive to where I am, we opted the law of liberty, the law of love, to say, no, we won't. Now, if I went home to my family in Tassie and they got together and we went out for dinner, I might have a James Bogues. Is that hypocritical? No, different context. Different context. So there's the law of liberty and the law of love. So sometimes if I'm able to eat meat if I want to, but because if I'm in somebody else's house and they're all vegetarians and I might offend them, then I opt not to eat meat. Why? Am I at liberty to eat meat? Absolutely. But what's the higher call? Love. Love says, I don't need to eat meat today. Does that make sense? Remember those ones. So we need to wrap it up. I was going to spend some time looking at the prayer leaves. What did your prayer leaves look like out there? I haven't gone out and had a look yet. I will before we wrap up. Because let me just remind you what you really look like. Okay? This is just to breathe and be blessed. Because this is where we started. You're the church. You're God's holy people. Members of God's family. Citizens, together we are His house. The household of God. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. We're joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple to the Lord, wherever God lives by His Spirit, part of God's mysterious plan, because we believe the good news. Because there's sometimes that we view ourselves differently to how God does. And God sees us as someone special, worthy of giving His life for, special enough to invite into His family, no longer an orphan, no longer broken or rejected, but loved and created in His image and God's holy people. How's that for a leaf that reflects who we are as His people? Fruit-bearing, peace-loving works of God's creative canvas. Do you get that? Fruit-bearing, peace-loving works of God's creative canvas. The church. There's nothing like it.